Yo, hey, we are back with another episode of Dialogue Heavy with yours truly, Michael Anthony McMillan. Hey guys, thank you, wherever you are, good morning, good evening, good night, thank you for listening to your boy. We are continuing on our story of God Bless the Girls with our main character, Sarah. You already know what she's been through. Particularly last week, we went through chapters 54 through 57, I believe. And Sarah is at home in the basement with her family, beat up and bruised up. Even Sarah has been knocked out by Boston last week, had a dream sequence and all that other stuff. So what she has upstairs is in the backyard of her house is Terry and Susie. The thing is, Terry and Susie doesn't know that Jerry's downstairs. When they made their plan to storm the house, they didn't know that Jerry had been, you know, freed from jail. Who would have thought that Jerry would have broken out of jail? So they just think they're just going to take over Boston, unleash Sarah and her family, you know, hopefully throw Boston in jail and go live happily ever after. But they got a rude awakening coming, because it's not just her. We know what happened with Jerry getting put, or escaping from jail. So now Sarah is downstairs, and she is. It's about time for Jerry and Boston to start killing her family off in front of her, and Sarah has to do something about it. So she turns into a person who she's not. She's ordering Boston around, calling her a slave, and Jerry is loving every minute of it. It's demeaning Boston and what she's done for him so far and stuff like that. And she's trying to knock two birds out with one stone. She's trying to prolong the situation, and she's trying to bring Boston to her boiling point. And she orders Boston to grab her something to eat, get her a burger, fries, and a Coke. And I guess with Boston and Jerry being there beforehand, Boston being in the kitchen cooking breakfast, she realizes that there is no Coke up there. And maybe Sarah knew this beforehand, maybe not, but she says, well, go out and get me one. Sarah realizes that she needs her to go to the backyard so the girls could apprehend her. So she tells her to go upstairs and give me some goddamn chili peppers. And also, with messing with Boston's head, she tells Jerry that I want you to fuck me until the slave comes back with my food. God damn. You know, Boston's on the boiling point. Jerry is transfixed. He can't wait. This is everything that he ever wanted since the day that he met Sarah in that, or saw Sarah in the kitchen at that basement party, saw her talking to Josh. And so that's where we're at. She's going to need, Sarah's going to need Boston to not Boston. She's going to need Susie and Terry to do their business upstairs. But even if they do, when they come downstairs, they don't know that this big hulking monster Jerry is down there. So Sarah is just wishing on a dream right now. And that's what we're going to get into, is chapter 58. We're going to see how everything is going up. We're going to see how everything hashes out. So let's just get into it. Chapters 58. I believe we're stopping at 61, three chapters today, but I think these chapters are a little bit longer, so you'll be okay with it. And we'll just go from there. So without further ado, I bring to you God Bless the Girls, chapters 58, 59, 60, and possibly 61. Okay, here we go. Chapter 58. Just upstairs from my makeout session with a psychopath, Boston stomped through the house, pissed off, and exited my side patio door that led to the backyard. I can only imagine how she felt. Jerry had put her through the ringer mentally and now physically. And what did she get for that? Her nemesis, me, ordering her to cook. And the love of her life, Jerry, siding with me? That had to hurt bad. Like, real bad. So she couldn't have been paying too much attention to her surroundings when she'd finally made it outside and not notice a very visible Susie who was crouching behind nothing but a mid-sized grill that was against the side wall of the house. Once she was far enough from the door, Terry popped out from behind the shed that stood in front of her. Hey! Terry yelled. The fuck? Boston stopped in shock. Then Susie stalked from behind and stopped about 10 feet away from her. The fuck is right, bitch, Susie said. Boston snapped her head around to see Susie in her fight-ready position. Both Terry and Susie surrounded Boston, ready to tear her head off, but Boston took them by surprise when she laughed. He really is a genius. What the hell are you talking about? Terry said. I told Jerry he was crazy. I told him nobody would be stupid enough to come all the way out here and put themselves in danger and get killed for a girl that they barely knew. But he told me to be ready for you. Well, Terry said, I guess you should have listened. I guess you should have listened then. Guess so, Boston said, kneeling down to her knees to give up. Terry and Susie looked at each other, confused, then started to walk towards Susie. And that's when Susie turned around in a prone shooting position, pulled out her taser gun and shot Susie in her abdomen. Shit! Susie yelled before slumping to the ground with 50,000 watts of electricity coursing through her. Terry lunged and attacked Boston to the floor. Terry lunged and tackled Boston to the floor. Their impact knocked the gun out of her hand, but also snapped a wooden stake directly into Terry's cap. Ah! She screamed as they yelled. And she screamed and they wrestled in the dirt as poor Susie trembled uncontrollably in the grass. The girls rolled around, pushing and pulling, kicking and slapping each other through my vegetables. Terry somehow landed on top, but before she could land a significant blow, Boston gripped a handful of fresh soil underneath them and threw it in her face. Ah! Terry yelled. Boston kicked Terry off of her and got upright to her knees right as Susie came storming after her like an NFL linebacker, knocking her back down. They too rolled around in the dirt, but this was Susie's world as a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and within a second or two, Susie was behind her with her legs wrapped around Boston's torso and her arms around her neck in a position in Jiu-Jitsu we call a rear naked choke. With her carotid artery failing to send blood to her brain, on top of not being able to breathe, Boston was 3 to 5 seconds away from going to La La Land, and because she didn't know what she was doing in defense, she was clawing through the soil for another gift instead of trying to pry Susie's hands apart. The curtains of Boston's visions were starting to close on her, and I'm sure she just as well felt like giving up. But that's when, in almost darkness, Boston's hand found and got a hold of the habanero peppers that I had been planting. And with her last bit of energy, she squeezed and extracted the very minimal but very extremely powerful oils out of them and reached up, smearing it into Susie's face and eyes. Ah! Ah! Susie screamed as 150,000 Scoville units of heat scorched its way through her skin and eyes. Susie's grip loosened, as did Boston's airway, allowing her to cough her way back to consciousness. She got up to see Terry hobbling for the patio door with a wooden stake still dangling from her left leg. Terry only needed to get into the kitchen door where there would be an array of weapons at her disposal. Her left leg was not helping her to get there any faster, but there were only a few steps left. Her filthy hands reached for the door framing, and just as soon as she grasped it, she felt a hard thud to the back of her head, and then she of all people was the one who saw black. Chapter 59. Mark had always been a bit of an outdoorsman, not to mention a worry willow after what happened to me years ago. So he'd planted knives and guns around the house in case of days exactly like this. The only problem was he was the only one that knew where everything was at, except for one very strange hiding place. Lay on the bed, Terry said, staring at me in my bedroom with no blemish of shame or guilt for his future intent. As Jerry turned around to close the door, I reached under the pillow on Mark's side of the bed, but felt nothing but a cold mattress. Where was that piece again, I thought? But, like Terry and Susie were finding out in the backyard, Jerry had outthought us all long ago. There's nothing there, honey, baby, Jerry said with his back still turned. The whole house is clean of Mark's little shop of horrors. He and I made sure of that before you arrived. Fuck, I thought. Is that why Mark's half of Mark's face had been burned off? Did he torture him until he'd given up all the goods? Shit. I'm screwed now. I had nothing to protect myself and nothing to stop this asshole from doing to me what he'd wanted to do for over a decade now. And forget about me. What about poor Mark? The kid was just in love with a dumb girl from his youth. Who would have thought that he would be in a love triangle with her and a sociopathic serial killer? Jerry turned around to me and started to take his pants off. It's just you and me now, honey baby, Jerry said as he walked over, then stopped at the foot of the bed. He was naked as the day he was born. Take your shirt off, he said, and slowly. Now, I know some women at that moment would be sobbing as they disrobed themselves, anticipating their own rape, but I have to say, I had no such feelings. Not of sadness, anyway. My feelings were nothing but of contempt and anger. I was trapped and had no way out. This man had finally got to me. He had finally made it so that I had no other option but to give myself to him, submit to him. If I hadn't, he would kill my father, my mother, and Mark. And although everybody previously mentioned would rather me fight to the death, I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I didn't do everything possible to keep them alive for any amount of extra time. I sat up with my back to the headboard and took my shirt off as I was told. My skin crawled as I watched him salivate over his prize. Now your pants, he said. I shimmied off my pants and threw them to the floor, and by the time I looked to Jerry for my next order, I can see that his penis had rose to attention. Now, your panties. As I started to disrobe my underwear and Jerry transfixed on me, there was a frantic knock at the door, and he was none too pleased. He rolled his eyes and turned his attention to the door. What? He said. His voice must have startled Boston because she spoke so softly that I could barely hear what she had said. I have them. Who? Jerry yelled. And as I sat there watching my rapist murderer argue with his partner in silence, my hands behind were doing the world's justice. It finally came to me that there was one contraption and weapon in my and Mark's bed that would not be easily found. Mark told me that I would probably never use it because it was too hard to get to in a bind, but as fate would have it, Jerry finally put me in the right place at the right time. It was a tiny, pink, and metallic 9mm pistol that was sewn into the seam of our mattress. And with his back to me, I was struggling to unravel the tiny threads with the tips of my fingers. The girls? Boston responded. Jerry looked back around at me with a smile, and I was just able to get my hands visible before he can do so. That's my girl. Jerry smiled at me before he turned his head back to Boston and continued. Good, Jerry said. Take care of them and I'll be out there when I'm finished. Jerry walked towards me, his penis, clearly anticipating a good time. But again, Boston interrupted. I need your help, Boston pleaded. That pissed Jerry off. He stormed back over to the door and yanked it open. Boston was now able to see all of his business. What am I supposed to do with them? She said. While the two argued, I was squirming, sweating even, trying to yank the pistol out of the little hole. I was barely able to pull it out without dropping it. I don't give a fuck what you do with them. Just get the fuck away from this door. Boston started. You're fucking useless, aren't you? Okay, I'll tell you exactly what to do so you can leave me the fuck alone. Take those little bitches downstairs with the rest, then sit and wait. Maybe even read a book. And when I'm done here, we're going to kill every last one of them. Okay? Boston looked past Jerry at me sitting on my bed in my panties, bare-chested. Jerry, being annoyed, closed the door enough so she could only see his face. Hello? Jerry said. Did you hear me? Yes, Boston said in a soft tone, looking to the floor. Go! Jerry screamed before slamming the door in Boston's face. Jerry stood there with his naked rear to me. He took a deep breath, then ran his hands over his sweaty, bald head. I thought about shooting him then, but I hadn't shot a gun in a while and I wasn't confident in my shot. Now, where were we? Jerry said. Jerry turned back around, then walked a few steps towards me and smiled with his big yellow-stained teeth glaring at me. And that's when I pulled out the gun and unloaded it in his face. Chapter 60. Sitting on my bed, I was frozen. I stared at the gun and I didn't know what to do or think. Why the fuck was Jerry still standing? Jerry smiled. My eyes were as big as saucers and the satisfaction on his face, priceless. Oh, Jerry said with his eyes leading off to my bedroom window. There goes your last bit of hope, right? I sent that pistol to Jerry's head in a pitch that CC Sabathia would be proud of, but in the neck of time, Jerry ducked and the butt of the pistol barely nicked his forehead. The consolation prize was shit. A little trickle of blood that came down the right side of his face. But as he wiped at the small gash, something strange happened. In between Jerry's legs, I saw the shadow of someone approach the door. I didn't want to say a word or make a move in case it was the police, or even better, a full-blown tactical unit waiting to bust in and pump that piece of shit full of lead. Maybe Terry and Susie found a way to gang up on Boston in my basement and free market my parents? Oh, I hoped. I hoped. Jerry made his way to the side of the bed and ran his fingers through my hair, yanking it so my face pointed up towards the ceiling. Finally, Jerry said as he climbed on top of me. It's just me and you now. I spit in his face. It was the only weapon I had. Jerry smiled at me with his hand still gripping my hair, then with the other hand backhanded me with the force of a Mack truck. My ears rang loud and the stinging area of my face started to swell. You amaze me, you know that? Jerry said. Jerry kissed my neck and I looked at the door sill. The shadow was still looming there. Really? How do I amaze you? You're just so strong and so resilient. I don't feel that way, I said. Jerry laughed. Don't sell yourself short, honey baby. You are in a league of your own. What the fuck are they waiting for? I thought. How much longer did they think I could keep him talking? That's how I knew I had to have you, Jerry said. You have Boston. You don't need me. Jerry's face soured. Boston is just a pawn, or a puppet rather, and she's weak. I can beat her and humiliate her, and she just eats it up. I really think she's sick. Jesus, I thought, you're one to talk. You, on the other hand, Jerry said, have a fire and an angst resisting me at every turn, and I loved it then, as I do now. You're the mouse, and I'm the cat. And you know what? You know what others don't know? You like it this way. What? I said, appalled. Quit denying it, Sarah. You like to be chased. I just obliged. Oh, you're fucking sick, I said, flailing to get away from his grip on my wrist. It's not much different from your little foot races as a youth or your friendship turned marriage with that weakling downstairs, is it? What the fuck are you talking about? I said. It's the same reason why you read my letters and kept them hidden from your family and friends. It went against everything you believed in, but you couldn't help yourself. You're a fucking psycho, I belted out. Like me, he said. You're obsessed with being number one, Sarah. Whether in competition or matters of the heart, you need to be wanted. And who doesn't want to be number one? Fuck you, I said. Can't you see that? You're my first place, Sarah. You're my trophy. What about Boston? I said. Who cares about Boston? Jerry yelled. Then he ripped my panties off and stared at my vagina with a yearning I'd never seen before in a human being. After our bodies come together in this sacred union, you'll finally feel what I felt the second I saw you all those years ago. At that party. Yeah, I said. What? And what's that? An adjointment of souls. You're fucking crazy, I said, and fought with the last bit of my physical and mental energy I had left. And then we'll kill everyone from your past life and be together forever. I'll always be with you. Not everyone, I said, from my past. Boston's coming too, right? Hell no, Jerry said. Boston is going to die downstairs with them. Shit, I thought. I was just exhausted after that. Jerry had my wrist pinned down and my legs pried open, with his sweaty hard chest pressed against mine, smothering me. I closed my eyes and really just surrendered to my fate. Part of me thought, as a consolation prize, if I gave him what he wanted, maybe, just maybe, I can later talk him into sparing my family. If he left them alone, I can deal with whatever situation that followed. And on a hope and a prayer, that's when I let go of all my inhibitions. And boom! That's it, guys. There's another episode of God Bless the Girls on Dialogue Heavy Podcast with your boy, Michael Anthony McMillan. It is... Get in there. We had a girl fight today. We had Boston beat the shit out of both Terry and Susie. Susie being a freaking black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and Boston found a way to kick both of their ass still. God damn, this team is good. Jerry with the smarts, and obviously Boston got some tough grit in her too, right? So that's how it's going. And it's not the end. We got a little bit left, and it's going. And this ending is going to be pretty goddamn good, I'd like to say myself, if I pat myself on the back. Nah, but anyway, thank you again for listening to another episode of Dialogue Heavy, and God bless the girls in particular, man. We'll be back next week with another episode, and probably about two episodes left, two, maybe three, but most likely two episodes left. And I just thank you for coming on the ride with me, man. I have officially, as of right before I recorded this podcast, I have officially finished the book. And I'm just proud of myself, man. You know, you do these things in life and you try to work hard to get where you want to go. And there's some days that you just like, man, you look back at everything that you've done. You're like, oh shit, man, I actually did do some stuff. You know, I'm usually so hard on myself in the presence of mind and stuff, but we out here working, man. So I don't want to talk to you about too much other things besides the story. I don't want to bore you guys, but yeah, man. So thank you again for listening. I love you guys, man. I appreciate it. And let's keep on keeping on. So that's it. I'm out of here. Peace.